Hi, listeners, and welcome to this episode one of the Australasian Fluid Mechanics Society podcast. My name is Justin Leontini. I'm hosting today, and I am joined by Professor Mathieu Sellier from the University of Canterbury, who has been doing some really exciting work on free surface flows. So thanks for joining us, Mathieu.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And so, Mathieu, you recently gave a talk to the AFMS on the research that you've been doing. Could you explain to the listeners a little bit about the topic of that research and what impact that research has for a wider society?
So the title of my talk was Ubiquitous Free Surface Flows from Kitchen to Volcano. And so basically, I guess to most persons that may sound a bit obscure, so I'll talk a little bit about free surface flows to start off with. So a free surface flow is basically a flow that has a surface which is exposed to the surrounding atmosphere, if you like. And in this particular seminar, I was explaining a little bit how you can model such flows on a computers using mathematical models and numerical algorithm. And I spoke specifically about a couple of problems of recent interest for me. The first one was to try to understand better the what's called the rheology of lava. So the rheology of lava is basically how it flows, how viscous it is, if you like. And what we try to do is, because of course standard measurement technique are not really applicable because lava is so hot and so corrosive, what we try to do is try to use observations of the lava as it flows. You can think of observations that could be made with a drone, for example, and combine this with some numerical models. And by comparing the two, we try to extract some properties of the lava, as I said before. For example, how viscous it is. Though lava's is a bit more complicated than just a viscous fluid. And so that was part of the sort of the first part of my talk. And if you've seen the news recently, it's particularly relevant. In Congo, recently they've had those significant eruptions, and it wasn't known for a long time whether the lava would reach inhabited areas. And I guess one of the things we'd like to be able to do with this research eventually is be able to say in real time, just from remote observations, where and when the lava is going to reach places.
So there's a real interplay with this project between, you know, the experimental or field observation measurement to get properties of the lava that's flowing in a particular place that you can then feed into your computational model that allows you then to go on and predict what will happen with lava flow in a completely different place. So, if, you know, taking measurements with a drone of a lava flow, getting properties, feeding that to your model, and now you're able to tell whether or be able to predict whether an inhabited area in the Congo is going to be hit by lava. That seems really quite high impact.
Well, that's what's attracting me to this problem, the fact that that it's quite challenging. It's multidisciplinary. I work with colleagues in volcanology. I work with colleagues in the maths department. And of course, eventually, I've got the hope of going to a real volcano. That's part of the plan. Probably not too close, but close enough.
Well, look, that sounds really great, Mathieu. Super exciting. And I guess you were explaining that the dynamics and the movement of lava is really a free surface flow and is therefore governed by the same kind of rules that are governing the flows of water and other things in people's kitchen sinks and their baths.
Indeed, it's all ultimately governed by very the same equations. Yeah. And I was going to tell you a little bit about the kitchen parts of this talk that I gave recently in this seminar series. And it's related to, it started as a fun project, which was to do with trying to understand how we make pancake. And most people, when they make pancake, they put the batter in the middle of the pan and they start rotating the pan in order to spread the pancake batter uniformly on the pan. And a question that had always been on my mind is, how do you rotate the pan in the best way in order to have a good coverage of the pan, because obviously if you get it wrong, you end up with holes in your pancake, which is not great. So started as a bit of a side project with the students, and we started doing a bit of modeling of the whole process and modeling of the process and also trying to understand what's called the optimal control. So what is the best way of controlling the flow in order to get the outcome that we wanted. So this is an example of a project that started in the kitchen, but it has evolved over time, because it turns out that this idea of trying to cover a surface with a uniform layer of liquid is actually very common in industry. This is known as coating a surface. And in coating, people who are interested in coating surfaces with, for example, a layer of paint, it could be as simple as a layer of paint, you want this coating to be uniform as well. And therefore, some of the ideas that started off as a kitchen physics, if you like, have been translated into a recent project where we're trying to optimize coating processes, specifically something that is called spin coating process, to end up with a thin film coating of uniform thickness.
Well, that's great to hear, Matthew, and another fantastic example of the translation of the mechanics between, you know, from the kitchen into industry, or, you know, maybe directly from the frying pan into the fire. So where is it that you get to do all of this exciting free surface work?
So I'm based at the University of Canterbury in New Zealand. So that's in Christchurch. I've been there since 2006. And
great. And you're in a mechanical engineering department, is that right?
Mechanical engineering department. That is correct. Yep.
Great. And how did you find your way into this field in general, into I guess mechanical engineering and fluid mechanics?
I've always had this curiosity about simple things, how a raindrop spreads on the surface or on your car windscreen, or how when you throw a little pebble in a puddle, it creates waves. And so I've kind of always had this natural curiosity for that. And so doing my undergraduate studies in France, I studied theoretical mechanics simply because of all the sort of disciplines of applied science, I've always felt like this was the one which I could most easily relate to, because we all experience mechanics, things that move, things that deform. We see it every day, and we can experience it. So,
yeah. Could I summarize mechanics potentially as the science of forces and motion?
Exactly. Yeah. Indeed. And therefore this was sort of the attraction for me in the first place, and then I still doing my undergraduate studies at the University of Grenoble in France, I did a specialization in modeling and simulation in mechanics, where basically what we are trying to do is try to represent those complex mechanical phenomena on a computer through equations and simulations. And personally, I can say this is where really my passion for the topic started, because I started to realize that things which are so complicated, you know, fluid flow, a turbulent fluid flow is very complicated. But I started to understand that actually some of these things can be described by equations. Those equations are complicated, but actually we can solve them on a computer very often.
And so with this interplay between the dynamics and the mechanics, between the maths that sits behind that, behind this computation, this really high-performance computation that you do, this sounds like a really multidisciplinary endeavor that you undertake.
Now, often these cross the boundaries of various disciplines. So I'm in engineering, but it's very common to work with people in mathematics, as I said before, in volcanology. It is very cross-disciplinary. This is another thing I enjoy.
Great. Yeah, I think that's a really great insight and a really great observation. The general sort of multidisciplinary nature of fluid mechanics, and the fact it draws people from lots of different backgrounds. And I'm really happy to hear that your own personal background, you know, firstly coming from theoretical mechanics you know, from France, finding a way into a mechanical engineering department in New Zealand, and now able to also take kitchen physics into industry. I think that's a really fantastic journey. So thank you again very much for your time, especially for being our inaugural podcast guinea pig.
Well, my pleasure. And thanks.
Thanks to everybody for tuning in. As mentioned, you can definitely catch Mathieu's presentation and all the presentations done as part of the AFMS seminar series if you go to our website, afms.org.au, and you can also find us on our YouTube channel, and the links to the YouTube channel are also on the website. So again, with that, thanks very much for listening.